everyone. Welcome to the Hoboken Grace Podcast. We hope today's message inspires you on your walk with God and supports you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. We want to help you in that, so every message from every week is available live and on demand on our app or at hobokengrace.com. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us, and we'll see you next week.
Well, welcome to Christmas Eve. I know for most of you, this is exactly how you expected to experience and celebrate Christmas Eve because you're already in different parts of the world as you're visiting your families. For others of you, this isn't exactly how you expected to experience it because of the fact that you had hoped that we'd be able to be together in person. But as we moved through this past week, we realized, one, that most of our family had already begun to travel because of the fact that Christmas Eve was on a Friday evening this week. But then in addition to that, there were so many of our team members and families that were struggling through being in person and then traveling the next day and wanting to be able to be healthy while they're with their family. And so we just decided to do what we have always done this time of year here at Hoboken Grace, and that is to prioritize your ability to be able to enjoy your family during this season. And so we just decided for all of us to be able to celebrate in this way. And I hope that wherever you are, that you are able tonight to just enjoy the reality of what it is that God has made possible because of what we celebrate tomorrow. Now, as we begin tonight, I want to take you back to the story, this moment where Jesus steps into our story, this moment that we've been talking about as the invasion, this go moment where God says, okay, this is the time, this is the moment the rescue begins. I want to take you back to that story in Luke. It says this: in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And so it begins. What an amazing moment. And as we've walked through this, we've looked at the significance of how Jesus enters the story. And we've looked at how he enters it as an example to us in so many different ways. Everything God does is so intentional in helping us to understand who he is. And this moment is no exception. And I have to imagine, I mean, if you could just for a second, put yourselves in their shoes. Can you imagine how terrified they were? I was thinking about this past week because I was working through something myself as a parent and just the difficulty of that and trying to figure out, okay, I don't know what I'm doing and how do I help my sons work through these different things that they're encountering in life and how do I teach them to engage well? How do I teach them to love well? How do I teach them to work hard? All of this sometimes as a parent can be so overwhelming. And I was sitting there in this moment working through something with one of my sons, and I just felt that sense of being overwhelmed, of being out of my league. And I reflected back on these two in this moment. I just thought about how terrified they must have been. I mean, first-time parents are terrified in general, but now they find themselves in this circumstance. How overwhelming it must have been for them to experience this in this way, away from home. What they expected for lodging wasn't available, and they find themselves in an undesirable circumstance, let's put it that way. I love the fact that in this passage it talks about how the shepherds were terrified, but I don't think they were the only ones. And again, as you move through this story, everything God does has a purpose. And as we've moved through this series, we've looked at how God comes as a child for his children, that this is how he sees us. We've looked at how he comes vulnerable and dependent because that's how he calls us into this relationship with him. Not that we have it all together, but we understand we don't. But I think there's more to it than that. And I think tonight what I want to focus on is not how he comes, but specifically the other two who are part of this story, Mary and Joseph, these two who are terrified, overwhelmed, and the reality that as God plans this invasion, and to me this is so significant, because as God plans this invasion, he doesn't decide to work outside of people. He doesn't decide to work despite people. He decides to work through people. And so he comes to Mary and Joseph, and he says, I'm going to work through you. I have this unbelievable thing that I'm doing. There's the go moment is coming, and I'm going to work through you. And I love this because, and this is so consistent. God does this over and over and over again. And this is one of those places where I think God is so different than we are. Because there's no way, if we were God, if we were the ones who were making the decision, there's no way we would use broken, terrified people. We wouldn't do it. None of us would choose that strategy. But God, over and over again, does. And as he steps into our story and he calls together his children, as he calls us to be vulnerable and dependent as we walk into this relationship with him, he doesn't say step aside. He says step in. He doesn't say step aside. I think most of us, we would say step aside, but he doesn't. He says, step in. And for a lot of us, that terrifies us. But it's interesting. I believe Mary was afraid, overwhelmed, all of that. But it's interesting. When you look at her response in the chapter earlier, you see something really remarkable about Mary and how she's experiencing and engaging this moment. We find this in the midst of an interaction with her and her cousin. And this news has been shared with her that she's going to be used in this way. I want you to hear what it is that she says. It says this, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Can I point something out here before we go any further? As she starts, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord. Listen to me. When you've been called into something great, earthly. When you've been called into something great, that's of this moment in time, your flesh is excited. It glorifies. Your flesh, it wells up. But when you've been called into something that's eternal, to be part of something that's spiritually significant, well, your soul glorifies. Temporary success. Well, that brings a lot of excitement to my flesh. Eternal success. That brings excitement to my soul. Many of you have experienced this when you've experienced God use you in the past. And there's a gratification that's deeper, isn't there? You realize that there's something more significant in that. And I love that Mary calls this out. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices. There's rejoicing deep within me based on what it is that God's calling me to. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. You see this idea of humility all throughout what she shares. She says, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. I wonder how many of us in that situation would say that God's done something great for us. But this is her mindset. She says, he's done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. Make sure that you pay attention to this. He has performed mighty deeds. This is really important in understanding her mindset. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And in this moment, we get to see Mary's heart, her mindset. And I don't think this means that she wasn't afraid as that baby's being born. But I do think it reveals something that's deeper, something more significant that was behind that. And that was an incredible joy at the opportunity to be used by God in this way. This incredible joy. Let me ask you something. What makes that possible? Why is it that she could have that joy even as she's walking into what is so unknown, what is so difficult, what is so overwhelming? Why is it that she can have that joy? Well, I think you hear it in the midst of what she says. You see, she understood that her qualifications to be used by God weren't based on what she's done. Her qualifications were based on what he's done. What does she talk about? What is it that she calls our attention to? His mighty works. She understands, no. If I were to submit an application to be used by God, I'm not going to list my qualifications. No. Why? It's not based on my qualifications. It's based on his qualifications. It's based on what it is that he's done and what he's demonstrated over and over and over and over again. And this reality that, no, I can walk into the unknown and I can walk into it with joy and wanting to be used by God, excited about being used by God. Why? Because it's not based on my qualifications. The only qualification that I have, and I love this because she speaks to her humility. The only qualification I have is that I'm humble and willing to be used. And listen to me. As we celebrate this Christmas and as we talk about this invasion moment, it's important for you to understand this is not something that just happened once. This is something that is ongoing. God is constantly battling for the hearts and souls, minds and lives of those around us. And as he steps into our lives, he doesn't say step aside. He says, step in. I want for you to continue to be part of this invasion. And you say, I don't know if I can be. I don't know if I have the qualifications to be. Wrong. That's not what the application, that's not what is on our application to be used by God. What's on our application to be used by God is our willingness to say, I'm in. Our willingness to say, use me however you would. No matter how overwhelming it is, no matter what I encounter, no matter how dark the night's gonna be, no matter how wonderful the mountaintop will be, no matter what it looks like, I'm in. I know what you've done. I know your mighty deeds. I know your faithfulness. Here are my qualifications. I know what you've done. And I'm willing to be used. Christmas is a wonderful moment. And tomorrow, as you wake up on Christmas morning, I hope that you'll be able to celebrate it with those that you love. And I invite you to celebrate that with all that you have. But I also invite you to remember, this was the go moment. And Christmas should be a reminder to us every year that the invasion's not over, that we still fight for the hearts and souls, and minds and lives of those around us. And so I call you tomorrow to remember that, to remember the mission that you're part of, and to remember that your qualifications to be used in this, not based on you, it's based on him. And to surrender, to say, no, I'm in. The only qualification you need is a willingness to surrender and say, how would you use me? And I invite you to say that tomorrow. As you engage Christmas, to step aside for just a moment at some point during the day, to get alone with the one who came for you, the one who invites you to come, vulnerable and dependent, the one who says he longs to gather you under his wings, to get alone with him and to say, I want to be part of what you started Christmas morning. I want to be used by you in what you started Christmas morning. I know it's not going to be based on me, but I know what you've done, and I know your faithfulness. I surrender. I surrender. I want to be used by you. How would you use me this year? As we move forward, how would you use me this year to be part of your mission? Christmas is a wonderful moment. But it's not just a holiday. It's the ultimate of missional moments. May it drive each and every one of us to come, surrender, and invite him to use us like never before. Will you pray with me? Father, I'm so incredibly grateful that you came for us in this way. As we look back at this moment where Mary, in the midst of all of this, all of the overwhelming circumstances, uncertainty, how she comes to you with joy. Father, I pray that it would motivate us. I pray that it would encourage us. I pray that it would move us to conviction, to be even more about your mission. That even more would be gathered to you. That even more would experience the reality that they get to be a kid again. That they have a phenomenal father. In Jesus' name, amen.